Welcome to Ask Peggy About Your Finances, because prosperity is so much more than money. Brought to you by writer, speaker, and certified financial planner, Peggy Dowiak.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 in Norman for production and studio assistance.
Hello, and welcome to the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. My name is Peggy Dowiak, and I'm a certified financial planner practitioner and a personal finance author. This is a show to help you understand your money, and we've got some great topics today. We're going to look at good economic news around Black Friday spending. We're going to talk about the IRS's clarification on 1099K reporting. Now, that's reporting for Venmo transactions. We're going to look at Medicare Part C and try to detangle some of the advertisements we've seen about it. And then in the Ask Peggy section, I'm going to talk about RMD start date confusion. So let's get started with the bulls and bears market and economic update. This is for the week ending December 1st, 2023. The Dow was up a little less than 2.5%, and the S&P 500 was up a little more than 0.75%. The NASDAQ was up about 0.4%. And gold was up 4.4%. Oil, West Texas Intermediate crude front month price, was down 1%, and the current price as of Friday was $74.38 a barrel. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 4.2%. The dollar index dropped by 0.2%, and Bitcoin went up a little more than 2.5%. So everyone has been very concerned about a recession, very concerned that the consumers weren't going to spend as much this holiday season. And I don't know what they're going to do for the rest of December, but on Black Friday, they proved all of that wrong, as American consumers spent $10 billion shopping online during Black Friday. They also went to the mall more than expected. What did they buy? No surprise, they bought Barbie dolls. They also bought TVs and smartwatches and all sorts of other things that were available. So there's enormous hope that, in fact, we're not going to have a recession out of all of this. I know that there's been great talk, especially on non-business channel news, very worried about a recession. It could still happen, but generally, when consumers are worried about a recession, they don't break spending levels for Black Friday. I do think some of this is a general giddiness that, even though COVID is still very much upon us, that people are not dying from it at the rates, and it's not running huge, giant holiday plans like it was. And so I think people are planning for a bigger holiday season this year than they have in the past several years. And given that inflation will always tend to make people spend a little more year over year, I think those two things are working together, along with a general sense of consumer confidence. And they're buying everything they can see. You know, it's interesting, when you ask the individual person how they think the economy is doing, they say, oh, I'm worried about it. But if you ask them how they are doing individually, most people are saying, oh, I'm doing better than I was. So there's a real disconnect here, and the spending continues to show the disconnect. So, you know, I think it's a really good sign. Yes, I don't want you to spend too much money in the holidays. I get that. But I'm also not the Grinch, and I'm all about doing what you can afford to do. I'm very excited to see the American consumer coming back. And at this point, we're just going to have to wait and see what happens next. If the market can continue to be good, if the economy can continue to be good, and how that bodes for the upcoming year.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 in Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the legislative update of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. And before I actually talk about what the update is, I want to give you a little bit of background. So when you have a transaction that results in you earning more than $600, so it could be one transaction or a series of transactions where over the course of the year, someone pays you $600, you have to report that on your taxes. Additionally, the party that pays you the money is supposed to report it to the IRS on varying forms. The most common for this kind of payment is a 1099 miscellaneous, or MISC. So they report to the IRS that they made the payment to you, and then you report the income on your taxes. Now, I am aware that many, many times in reality, this isn't the way it goes down. Lots of people don't create 1099 miscellaneous forms and report them to the IRS, and lots of people put cash in their pocket. But it is always my job to tell you what the law is. And if you're paying someone, you should be giving them a 1099 MISC if you're paying them more than $600, or perhaps another form of reporting to the IRS. This is something you should talk about with your CPA, because there's other kinds of payments that might actually require other kinds of reporting. And then if you've received the money and you've received, really, it's supposed to be on the first dollar, but most people don't report it if it's less than $600. Now, for some reason, they've decided that a 1099 miscellaneous form, 1099 MISC, is not good enough for electronic cash transactions on payment platforms like Venmo or Zelle or Cash App or any of those really common ways that we have right now of paying people for things that they're doing. Instead, they're creating a new form called a 1099K. Now, in the past, you only had to do this if the income threshold was $20,000, or if you had 200 or more transactions. Well, the American Rescue Plan that was in 2021 said, no, this number needs to get dropped back to the $600. That's everything else. Now, I will tell you in truth, I'm not sure that the IRS ever intended that you would pay someone money that was less than $20,000 and you didn't have to report it. But somehow the way everything was working, people weren't reporting income that they were receiving and people weren't reporting payments they were making unless it was $20,000 until the law changed in 21. Well, the rollout of this has been really, really awkward. And the IRS has just announced that they are going to again delay the implementation of the $600 in the Form 1099-K. So when you do your taxes next year for 2023, for the year that we're currently in, there will not be any 1099-Ks. They are going to begin to start implementing it in 2024, but for this year, they're not doing it. Apparently, the problem is if you buy something and you sell it, but you sell it at a loss, then it isn't actually taxable income, right? So that's creating a whole lot of issue with secondhand items. And I think the IRS isn't really sure how to handle all of that. Even though technically it's income, I'm not sure the IRS wants to go completely down that road. And so they're delaying. So why am I telling you this? Well, in case you are a tax nerd like I am, and you're expecting for there to be a 1099-K form that you receive, you won't, not for 2023. But the bigger deal that I wanted to talk about, which is why this was worth taking a section of the show, is remembering to do your taxes accurately. If you're paying other people, you need to submit the 1099-K to the IRS. Now, I think it's always good to let that person know that you're doing it because it happens so infrequently. If you receive money, even if you don't get a 1099, the IRS says that you still owe taxes on it. So if you don't receive any form of documentation from the person who paid you, that doesn't eliminate your tax liability. And I know I am flying in the face of how lots and lots of people do business. But again, it's my job on the show to try to help get you out of trouble. And the IRS can come after you with penalties and back tax owed and interest and all kinds of things. I don't think they would actually pursue it as fraud, although I am not in a position to make that judgment. That's always their choice. But it's kind of ironic to me that fraud takes a really specific definition and it tends to be higher dollar amounts. But they can still ding you with all kinds of money that you'll owe if you don't pay taxes on all the income you received. And it's really important for you to know that and for you to pay the taxes you owe so you don't get hit with a nasty surprise in the future.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the Plan Your Prosperity segment of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. If you've been watching TV recently, you've seen ads that often feature older celebrities. You may be missing out on available benefits. Call this number to see if Medicare Advantage is right for you. Or you've seen the older cranky woman who has my mother's name, which really kind of makes me angry at the ad from the beginning, about Martha, who just won't get her Medicare Advantage plan like she should. The ad's condescending, and it's rude, and the whole thing needs to have a closer look by you before you just jump in. There's disclaimers on the ad, but they're so small you would need a magnifying glass to read them. So I want to talk today about what Medicare Advantage, Medicare Part C, is, and I want to talk about its strengths, and I want to talk about its weaknesses. So Medicare Advantage, also called Medicare Part C, is private insurance that promises to pay for everything covered by regular Medicare A, which focuses on hospitalization, and B, which focuses on physicians. Some Advantage plans also cover Part D, which pays for your prescriptions. To sweeten the pot, Advantage plans may cover items that traditional Medicare excludes, like hearing aids and glasses. And a few even offer some minimal long-term care benefits. And then on top of that, the premiums may be lower than B, D, and a Medicare supplement. Now, Medicare supplement is also called a Medigap policy. So you have Medicare Advantage, that's Part C, and Medigap, which is a Medicare supplement. So what's not to love, right? It sounds fabulous, but there's some shortcomings to Medicare Advantage plans. First, this isn't part of traditional Medicare. These are policies sold by private insurance companies that have promised to cover everything Medicare covers. So they have insurance risk. And I know the first thing people are going to say with that is Medicare's not stable either. No, it isn't, but the United States government has the ability to keep Medicare viable. My opinion only, I think they're going to do whatever they have to do to make sure Medicare stays viable. I'm not actually worried about it, and especially after the way some votes have gone this year, when I was concerned that people were missing the big picture, when at the end of the day, in fact, they hadn't. I'm even more convinced right now that both Social Security and Medicare will be funded one way or the other. When you get a Medicare Advantage plan, however, that insurance company is limited in its ability to shore up its funding. So why doesn't traditional Medicare cover glasses and hearing aids? Because they're not actually insurable risks. Okay, the reason a risk is insurable is it's less likely to happen than it is likely to happen. So, for example, we buy homeowners insurance in case our house burns down. Well, that's very smart, right? Because if your house burns down, it's catastrophic. But the insurance company doesn't think your house is going to burn down. And that's why they're willing to sell you the policy to cover the loss. The likelier it is that the situation is going to occur, the higher the premium has to become in order to cover everything. So how are these Medicare Advantage plans providing things that traditional Medicare can't, like glasses and hearing aids, which are used by so many senior citizens? Well, they're making up the money in other ways. And that's the other thing I really don't like about this, is there's lots of stuff that goes on just under the surface that's hard to see. Here's the biggest problem with Medicare Advantage plans, Medicare C. They all have networks of doctors. And if your doctor isn't in the network of the Medicare Advantage plan that you buy, you can't go to that doctor. And then there are gatekeepers, so that if you need a surgery, it's not even your primary care physician who necessarily decides that it's a good thing. There are gatekeepers who decide whether or not you can have the surgery. There are gatekeepers which decide whether or not you can get certain medications. Now, when you're young and relatively healthy, I'm going to call myself young. I'm 57. I'm young enough. It doesn't sound that scary, right? But becomes a big problem when you get older and there is a little bit more of limiting care than you might want. Or if you're worried about your mom or your grandmother or your dad and your grandfather, it's just women tend to live longer. They may not be able to get what they need. And if they're elderly and there's a treatment out there that might help, maybe they're allowed to have it and maybe they're not. And the problem is, by the time you make that discovery, it's too late to do anything about it. Now, having said that Medicare, regular Medicare, doesn't cover hearing aids and glasses, they're actually very good about covering the important stuff. So you're not going to get denied a experimental treatment because you're 80, because they decide you're too old when you're on traditional Medicare. But they can do it when you're on Medicare Advantage. Scares me to death. Now, here's the second problem that ends up happening. When you're first eligible for Medicare, whether that's regular Medicare, A, B, and D, or Medicare Advantage, you don't have any underwriting. That means that whatever medical conditions you enter the system with, they're covered. It's no big deal. But if you change plans, once you're in it, you may be subject to underwriting and you may have to pay a higher premium or not be able to get coverage at all. It's not exactly covered as well as the Affordable Care Act covers other things. So Medicare Advantage, if you get it and you hate it, and maybe you want another Medicare Advantage plan, you're going to have underwriting at that point. I think the workaround is, because you had access to it at the beginning, you just chose not to do it. So you really want to make sure that when you get started, you've got access to everything you want, that you know what your benefits are, that you know what your limitations are. Additionally, Medicare supplements, that Medigap I talked about, which is how most people on traditional Medicare get those extra things covered, they are only subject to, they're only without underwriting at the beginning as well. So if you want to change plans on your Medigap, those also have underwriting. So you need to talk to a licensed insurance agent in your state. I will tell you that not only do private insurers love Medicare Advantage, the regular Medicare system's pretty fond of it too, because anybody they don't have to cover is making that system a little bit more viable. So there's a whole lot of people out there who are going to try to convince you this is the greatest thing in the world. And maybe it is. Okay, maybe it is exactly what you're looking for, but I want you to be convinced, certain that you know what your plan's going to cover, that you know what it's not going to cover, that all the doctors that you want are there, that if you like a particular hospital, you check doctors you don't currently need because maybe you don't have a cardiologist or a pulmonologist now, but you need one in the future. So you really need to do your homework. Don't get fast-talked by anyone. Don't say yes to anything at the moment that you're talking to a person or calling on the phone. Get the information. Get off the high pressure to make a decision now. You don't need to make a decision now. You need to get the information. You need to read it. You need to make sure that it's going to be in your best interest. And that's going to help you prosper.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the Ask Peggy segment of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. And after a pretty hectic fall, things have slowed down a little bit for me. Right now, I don't have any signings or speaking engagements to talk about. I know things are going to get started after the first of the year, but I'm kind of happy to have a slower holiday season, get to lay back a little bit, bake some cookies, visit some people, and not be running 1,000 miles an hour. However, if you are still looking for the perfect Christmas or holiday present for the woman in your life, then consider 52 Weeks to Well-Being, What a Woman Needs to Know to Become Queen of Her Finances. This is a book about money that I wrote. It came out earlier this year. It covers all sorts of topics that are useful for women. I was very hesitant about writing this book because a lot of the things that I've seen about money and women is pretty condescending. And yet when I started doing research, women don't do as well in a divorce as men typically do. And women certainly often struggle if they're widowed to make it on the money left over. So those seemed like important topics to talk about. Women are also much more likely to be entrepreneurs. And I think some of it's because the schedule is a little bit more flexible. But small businesses, entrepreneurial businesses, are much more likely to be started by women than men. So I have a section on how to start a business. And then sometimes in a traditional workplace, it can be hard to get ahead. So I have a section on getting ahead in more of a traditional job. And then women tend to be the caregivers, both of the kids and the elderly parents. And so I have a section on caregiving and then some other random things. But if you're looking for a really cool book for a woman who fits any of those categories, I also have basic financial information, you know, the stuff I am more likely to talk about on the radio show. So it's really fun. It's available through Amazon or Barnes & Noble online or your favorite independent bookstore. They can order it for you. So if you're looking for something fun, just consider it as a holiday present. So, the question I want to answer today is a very broad question, and I get asked it in different forms and fashions. Do I have to take a required minimum distribution if I'm 70 and a half this year? So let's unpack that a little bit. A required minimum distribution is the amount that the IRS pays you. No, that is so not right. It's the amount the IRS requires that you take out of your retirement accounts when you reach a certain age. So they've let you defer your taxes for all these years in a 401k or an IRA. And it's like, no, you can put the money back in pre-tax dollars, but now we want you to start taking the money out. And for years and years and years, the year you had to start taking it out was the year that you turned 70 and a half. The amount you take is based on a table in an IRS publication, 590B, or your financial planner or CPA or even custodian of your investment account probably has already calculated it for you. It's not as much money as you think it is because it's basically designed to have you distribute the money over the course of your life. So even if it's a large account, the amount of your RMD is not going to be massive if it was originally your money. If it's inherited money, you know, we've talked about that problem quite a bit on the show. If it's a spouse, then you can move that money into an IRA in your own name and you can treat it like it's your own. But if it's a non-spouse person who made you their beneficiary, the funds have to be taken out within 10 years of the year after the year they died. And so it's a much faster distribution schedule and it doesn't depend on your age. But going back to if it is your money, it was 70 and a half forever and a day. And then recently it's moved to 72. And then last year it moved to 73. So if you've been taking RMDs, let's say you started when you were 70 and a half and now you're 71, can you stop? No, you can't. Once you've started, you have to keep going. But if you haven't started yet, this year, the RMD age is 73, and it's becoming a real moving target. And I know why they're doing it. It's because they want people to have money as long as they're alive, and longevity is very much on the rise, and people are running out of money in the very time in their life that they can't get a job, and they needed money more than you could imagine. So it's a good intention, but it's led to a ton of confusion. Now, to make it even weirder, if you don't want to take your RMD the year that you're required to, you can put it off. But you have to take it before April 1st of the next year, and then you have to take a second distribution that same year. So your divisor is your publication 590B from the IRS, and then the account balance it's based off of is December 31st balance of the year before the year you have to take the distribution. So for most people, they go back to that December 31st balance. You look to see what you have to divide that by. That's the amount of your distribution. And again, you don't have to do this yourself. It is probably on your brokerage statement telling you how much distribution you need to take. If you've transferred your account and it's not on your statement, that doesn't mean you're off the hook. Make sure you talk to your financial advisor. Make sure that you talk to your CPA. If you're doing this on your own, call the custodian and tell them what's going on to make sure that you don't forget to take this. If you're up and going, once you haven't gotten, you know, once you haven't dealt with everything that first year, you must take the distribution by December 31st. So that first year, you can kick it forward and take two in the same year. Once you're past that year, you've got to take it by December 31st. And this is already December 4th, and you're running out of time because that week between Christmas and New Year's can often result in people not being in offices, longer wait times. Go ahead, if you don't have your RMD taken care of yet, go ahead and take care of it now because you're going to be really, really glad that you haven't gotten right up to the holiday season and you still have to deal with it because then you really don't want to have to mess with it.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
You may submit personal finance questions to the Ask Peggy Facebook page and learn more at PeggyDoviak.com. And remember, prosperity is so much more than money.